You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast, Monday, May 4th, 2019. We kick off a new week. This is John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, this weekend I was kind of taking stock of the Jets roster, and it got me thinking about which positions are set for this team going forward. Which positions where even if I was offered a good player at a reasonable rate in either free agency or a trade, would I just have to turn it down because the player would not help the Jets all that much? And really, I could only come up with two spots. One is the quarterback position, obviously, where, I mean, hey, you would not turn down a good quarterback, but you probably would not pay market value for a quality quarterback. And the other one's the safety position, where even if you were offered a high-end player with Marcus May and Jamal Adams in the mix, it probably would not make sense for the Jets to add. Let me give you an example. Is Earl Thomas is set to become a free agent? Is Earl Thomas a tremendous player? Yes, he's a future Hall of Famer, one of the best safeties of his era. But will he be able to help a team in 2019? I think he probably will be. Would it make sense for the Jets to go get him if he comes to the Jets and say, "Hey, I want a market value deal"? Probably not. Because you have Adams and May around. And yes, in today's NFL, you certainly can play three safeties at once. There are teams that do it, but in order to play three safeties in the game today, you essentially have to have one guy who kind of replaces a slot corner. He plays some safety, but he's also playing in lieu of a slot corner. And I'm not sure anybody would be best utilized in that way. So this actually got me thinking a little bit further about who the foundational players are on the Jets roster. And by foundational players, I mean, you know, the young guys who are the core, the guys who are young, who are plus players at their position, or there's a reasonable chance they're going to be plus players based on what we've seen so far at their position. These are the guys I'm thinking, you know, they'll be around in 3 years, they'll still be producing for this team. So I'm going to give you the guys who I think make up the Jets core right now, and it's going to be a matter of debate. So I set the ground rules as, you know, first of all, you're young. And you can figure out what a young player is, who's not a young player. I also want some track record of success. So I either want you to be a good player right now, or be early enough into your career and have shown enough that it's a reasonable suggestion for somebody to believe that you're going to grow into that plus starter. So, you know, there's certain guys I'm not going to include in this. A guy like, and there are lots of guys who will fit this category, like a Perry Nickerson, who's young, who, you know, possible they could turn into a good player, but we just haven't really seen anything out of them yet to really know who they are. And I'm also going to exclude the receivers the Jets have, which I know will be controversial. You know, I know the Jets receivers have a lot of fans, but I mean, you look at Robbie Anderson at this point in his career, he's been, you know, a guy who's not, I mean, he hasn't had 1,000 yards yet in his career. I know he could have had 1,000 yards in 2017, but he didn't. He's coming off kind of a disappointing year. Now, he's an NFL player. I mean, I don't think there's any question that he has a spot on an NFL roster, but at this point, I don't think he's really shown he's a building block type player. I think he's more of a complementary part. And look, this does not rule out somebody growing into it eventually. I'm just saying, you know, 3 years into his career, it's a little long to have not shown you're a core player. So, you know, it's certainly plausible he could grow into a core player after the season, you know, going forward. But I haven't seen it yet. You know, if he was 1 year into his career, maybe I'd list him. But, you know, I don't think I will right now. And then Anunwa, who, you know, at 27 is kind of pushing it. You know, he's pushing into, and I always know the response is 27 is not young for a person, but for a football player, it's not that young. It may not be that old, but it's not that young. And honestly, Anunwa at this point of his career, I think it's been more hype from the fan base than there is substance. And this is a guy whose skill set I do like. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the guy's got 1,600 yards. And he's been in the league since 2014. He was drafted in 2014. I mean, at some point, something's got to give. Again, a guy who could step up. But at this point, I think he'd have to be ruled as a more complimentary player. So let's talk about players who are the Jets core. And the first guy I'm going to mention is the obvious guy. And he's a guy who really has not necessarily proven that he's a plus player, but pretty much everything is riding on him, Sam Darnold. I think we all know that. You know, look, that's just how it is. When you pick a quarterback third overall, everything's riding on him. Fortunately, he ended his 2018 season on a pretty high note. Not a great Week 17 game against New England, but nobody played a great Week 17 game. But the three games preceding it, the comeback win in Buffalo, and then two really excellent efforts and losses in home games to the Texans and the Packers. And, I mean, I could go over it, his ability to extend plays, the way he processes the game, the reads he makes at a very young age, a guy who's still, you know, even by football standards, a very young guy and playing the most complex position on the field. You know, like, we all know what the upside is, and we all know that. And then, look, this one again is the obvious one, because if your young quarterback is not part of your core, I don't really know who is part of your core. Jets are depending on him to develop into a star level player, and that's important at the quarterback position. You know, there are certain positions on the field where you can get away with a guy who's, you know, okay, who's decent, if you have star players elsewhere. You know, you can get away with an okay running back if you have a star player at receiver, and vice versa. You can get away with an okay receiver if you have a superstar type running back. And on defense, you know, you can go down the list as well. Quarterback in this league, it's really tough to win unless you have a difference maker. That's what the Jets need Sam to turn into. And, you know, I mean, a lot of this is based on projection. I think we all knew, or at least we all should have known, that with the roster the Jets were putting on the field last year, there were going to be some real moments of struggle. This was not a team that really built a stable infrastructure to support a young quarterback particularly well. And even, you know, late in the year, it's not like the supporting players were playing a whole lot better. I mean, a lot of it was just Sam making plays where nothing was there, where he's, you know, scrambling around under pressure and throwing a great pass into a tight window. It wasn't necessarily that anybody else was lifting him up. The Jets were struggling just as badly on offense. It's just Sam was kind of showed he was kind of growing. So I think, you know, pretty clearly he is one of the core players on this team going forward. Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday, we're laying out who the core players are of the Jets going forward. And we talked about Sam Darnold to start with, and now let's talk about one of Sam Darnold's weapons. Again, this is kind of a projection, but a guy who had a very impressive rookie year. I think a guy who really exceeded all expectations, and that's Chris Herndon. I mean, I'll tell you why he exceeded expectations is he was coming off a pretty serious injury. He, you know, got hurt near the end of his college career. He also plays tight end, which is not a position that necessarily lends itself to the easiest transition to the NFL, because as I say frequently, I mean, you have to learn the wide receiver routes, because sometimes the tight end you're going to get split out wide. You have to learn the routes from the slot, because sometimes you get flexed to the slot, but you have to learn the tight end routes too. You have to adjust to the bigger, stronger players when you're blocking. There's a lot to take, and I think Herndon's blocking still has to come along a little bit, but so far, so good. 39 catches, 502 yards, 4 touchdowns. You can remember how bad. I mean, it was a rough start to the season for Herndon. That was a brutal game he had against Miami Week 2, where, you know, big drop, did not get into the end zone when he probably should have near the end of the first half. I mean, he had a really rough start. And he came on, kept coming on later on as the season progressed. And I'll tell you, sometimes you have to listen closely to what the coaching staff says. Sometimes they'll give you a little clue, and if you read about or listened to Adam Gase's press conference this week, Gase used the term unicorn when he described Herndon. He didn't just use generic term like, oh yeah, we like this guy, oh, this guy's impressive. He used the term unicorn, and admittedly, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but to me that tells me they really think they've got something in Herndon. And, you know, you look at this Jets team, and this is a team that really needs a go-to guy. Now, is Herndon going to be a go-to guy? It's a lot to put on him. I don't think it's necessarily fair to put that on him to say that he has to be, because, again, he was a fourth-round pick. But after a very impressive rookie year, this is a guy who's exciting. You have to be excited about going into year two. And certainly in the NFL, if you can get a guy who's a mismatch at the tight end position, well, that's something that can really take an offense to the next level, you know, especially a big, you know, big weapon for a young quarterback like Sam. So, lots to like in Herndon, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he is part of the team's core right now. I know, you know, some of you may disagree with me on that, because still a little ways to go for him yet. 39 catches, 502 yards. That's very solid for a rookie, very good for a rookie, but not exactly star level just yet. But this was, I'll tell you, I like this pick. Even at the time, I was optimistic about this pick from the standpoint. I like when you, especially when you get to like rounds four and later, where you find guys who you can understand why they might, you look at this guy and you say, maybe he was undervalued a little bit. And in Herndon's case, it was because he was playing behind a very talented tight end in college and then suffered an injury. So you looked at that and you said, you know, maybe there's more to this guy than the numbers he put up. Maybe there's a good reason he didn't put up numbers. And maybe that's not his fault. You know, it's not his fault that he played behind a first-round pick who happened to play the same position at Miami, and then he gets injured, which sometimes knocks your stock down a little bit. So we'll see what he does going forward, but a lot to like there. So let's move to the defensive side of the ball. We're talking core players here on the Locked On Jets podcast today. And, I mean, this one, again, pretty obvious. Jamal Adams, who took the step you were looking him to take in year two. This was a good, I said going into year two, I really felt like this was an important year for Adams. His rookie year was up and down, and even for a guy drafted top six, look, it's not easy to, it's kind of tough to transition to the NFL. I mean, there were people who were critical of him after year one, and I just felt like I saw some good things that year. I saw him dominate a game here or there, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for things that make me optimistic heading into year two. I'm not looking for you to be phenomenal year. Look, if you're phenomenal year one, that's great, but I'm looking for signs that when you put all the pieces together, it could be really special. And that's what we got from Adams year one. And yeah, some rough games in there, some hiccups in coverage, some things that were not so great, but there was enough to make me believe that this could be a player. Now, but he needed to elevate his game in 2018, because what he did in 2017 was okay for a rookie, but not necessarily the type of thing you'd be, not necessarily the type of performance you'd be looking for a number six overall pick to sustain for the long haul. He would just be an okay guy. Of course, he did elevate his game year two, you know, tremendous against the run, effective as a blitzer, really knew how to read the blocks in front of him, knew when to attack, and coverage was better. I'd say probably still to the extent he has a weak point, it's probably still coverage. He's not a super great cover guy, which, you know, in today's NFL where it's a passing league, You'd like your guy to excel in cover, but I don't think it was a weakness. I don't think he was a weak link in coverage. I think rookie year there were points where he was a weak link. I don't think that he was really a weak link in 2018, so that was encouraging. You know, he went to the Pro Bowl, well deserved. I think it was a no brainer. He was going to the Pro Bowl. Just a really solid year for Adams. I think that this one, again, this one's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious he's a big piece of the puzzle going forward with the Jets, and well deserved after a tremendous year two. And if he plays like this every year of his career from this point on, I think you're going to be very happy with that sixth overall pick in 2017. Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday, and today we're talking about the core of the team. Who are the foundational pieces on the Jets roster right now? We're talking young players who we have reason to believe that they're going to be long-term contributors, long-term plus starters for the Jets. And the next guy I'm going to give you is honestly coming off a little bit of a disappointing year, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because of how good his 2017 was, and that's Marcus May. And the next time you go crazy because the Jets draft a player at a certain position early on, just think back to the Marcus May pick, because I remember that when the Jets did that, they picked him second round 2017, and they had just picked Adams in the first round, and I just remember people went crazy. They said, you picked two safeties in a row. They said, oh, even if this works out, it's not a great pick. Well, how do you feel about that now? Now, I will say this, 2018 was very forgettable for May, dealt with multiple injuries, and that's why it's a little dicey to put him on this list, but again, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because of how solid he was in the back of the defense in 2017. And look, I think there is something to the idea. You cannot definitively prove it, but I think there is something to the idea. 2016, Jets just have breakdown after breakdown, miscommunication after miscommunication in the secondary. 2017, May comes in. It seems like the problem is not as pronounced. It seems like the Jets are much steadier back there. You have May, who's a very stable presence back there, even as a rookie, you know, very impressive rookie season. 2018, May's in and out of the lineup. Again, you see the breakdowns, you see the miscommunication. I think there's something to that. And I think, you know, this is a guy who, if he can stay healthy, is going to be a solid long-term player for the Jets. And again, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt by putting him in here. I think there is some concern, though, off this season, because this is going to go one of two ways, this 2018 season for May. It's either going to be the type of thing we just forget about, we never remember it, or it's going to be the start of May becoming the type of guy where you say, he's a good player, he just can't stay on the field. And we don't know which way it's going to be. I mean, you can't tell me which way it's going to go. None of us know. And you just hope for the best. Because when May is on the field, and even when in the limited time he played in 2018, I mean, I thought he was very good. I thought he was really solid out there. So I don't think the injuries were necessarily that damaging to him out there in 2018. I thought he played pretty steady back there. And, you know, the thing about it, this is the other thing about May, is that a guy like May who plays deep middle, you tend not to notice him when things are going well. And sometimes it's not always true. Like, there are some safeties who make a ton of impact, like Adams this year. You noticed Adams a lot when he was doing good things, but there are some safeties where you're not hearing their name is a good thing, especially the guys who are at the back of the defense, because that means they're not blowing their assignments. If you're the last line of defense, there are guys who the only time you hear about them is when they blow their assignments, because otherwise they're just taking away their assignment. The quarterback never even looks that way. Never even looks at them. May is like one of those guys. I feel like he's the type of guy you had to study the All 22 film to really appreciate how steady he was back there in 2017. But you know, I give the fan base, I think a lot of Jets fans do realize what a solid pick he looked like that rookie year. Now we hope it'll turn around after a bit of an injury plague season. But I'm still listing him. I'm still going to be optimistic on him because I've liked what I've seen when he's been on the field. So let's hope for the best on him. And then I'll conclude on what I'm sure will be another controversial note, and a guy I'm not totally sold is going to be on the team long term, and a guy, again, this is one I'm really giving the benefit of the doubt to, but I'm going to say Leonard Williams. I still think Leonard Williams is going to be part of this team going forward. He's a guy who, look, this was not a good year. It really was not. There were too many instances where he got beat one-on-one. But here's the thing I'd say about Leonard Williams is that, you know, the idea, he used the phrase hidden production a couple times talking about how his stats are not that great. And it's kind of become, I feel like it's kind of become a punchline in the fan base. And in some ways, I feel like that's kind of unfair because the idea that, in, you know, we're talking hidden production, we're talking like winning your assignments, tying blockers up, pressuring the quarterback, getting hits on the court, hitting the quarterback after he throws it. I get the feeling like people hear hidden production and they think these things aren't, these are things that really do impact the game. These are relevant stats. So some of these things are relevant stats. You know, just because you don't see them on the first page of NFL.com does not mean they have no impact. These actually can be really important plays. But it's just, you feel like he's kind of underachieved relative to his draft slot, and not just relative to his draft slot, relative to the best player in the class hype he got coming out, relative to the excitement when the Jets picked him. I mean, this was a guy who generated a lot of lofty comparisons. And if we're going to be honest, he has not, aside from maybe year two, where he went to the Pro Bowl and really had that kind of impact 2016, aside from that, has just been a pretty just, you know, good player, somewhere between average. This year was kind of average, but somewhere between like average and good. Not great, not transcendent, not the type of guy who lifts the defense to the next level. Just a guy who does his job more often than not. You know, the other thing I'd say about Williams, though, and this is a point I made a couple times, is you forget how young he is. I mean, he's still, even though he's been in the league 4 years, he's not a guy who's that old. I still think that there's some upside there. I think that there's time for him to grow into the type of, now I think that time is kind of running out because I think by the time next season ends, it'll be 5 years in the league, but he's only going to be 25 this year. So it's not like he's, you know, 27, 28. Now I think that this is kind of his last day. I feel like if it doesn't happen this year, it's not going to happen, but you know, a guy who you can at least have a little bit of optimism if you want. I mean, I don't know. I think some people are down on him, but I think there is a little room for optimism with Leonard. And, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. Anyway, so those are the five core players that I can come up with, youngish core players. That's all for today's show. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and leave the show a good review on iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Monday, everybody, and we will be back to talk more Jets.